to see everyone today, and we're so thankful that Tanya and I could be here with you today. The Lord has blessed us all with a beautiful day to be able to come and to worship Him. I want us to consider today, and if you will, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we notice here that kind of in the conclusion of this first letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, many conflicts, many trials, many things that were going on within the church there. And we find that in the earlier or latter part of verse 15, he deals with the idea of the sting of death being that of sin. And notice there that he gets into chapter 16, looking at the ideas of the first day of the week, but we find later on in the closing arguments of chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, where he says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, that all that you do be done with love." He goes on to say, "I urge you, brethren, that you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves," he says, "to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who wrote or works and labors with us." I want us to consider today in our lesson and kind of highlight verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. I want us to consider, if you will, and we're going to kind of separate this verse into four parts, looking at each challenge that Paul presents to the church in Corinth. I want us to first of all notice, if you will, when we look at that word watch. Whenever we kind of define the word, we find it talks there about being spiritually alert. This is not something that we occasionally be alert of, but it is something that we need to be consistently alert. And Paul's admonition here is to watch, constant watchfulness, constant alertness. As it says, spiritually alert, sober-minded comes to mind also. And of course, being vigilant against temptation and spiritual dangers. There were many temptations that not only faced the church in Corinth, and many spiritual dangers that they faced, but it faces us also. And so this is an example, and we might even say that it is also not only a challenge to the church in Corinth, but also to us today. That there's same similar things that are going on in each and every one of our lives. We face similar situations, similar temptations. We face the same dangers that they faced in their day. And so we too need to be watchful. If you will consider and turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41 there, we find there again Jesus, the night of his betrayal, we find that he took a select few of his disciples and he went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray unto his Father, of which he did many times in conversation with his Father in heaven. And we find at this particular instance that he asked his disciples to stay a distance away from him and to be watchful, to watch. And yet we find that he comes back to his disciples in verse 40 there. He came to the disciples and found them what? He found them sleeping. Their physical exertion throughout that day had caused them to slumber, to go to sleep. And so he says there, and he said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" So many times we allow other things to distract us, and we become not as watchful as we should be. Jesus expressed unto his disciples here, his apostles, "Be watchful." But as we find that they became weakened and they began to sleep. So he says there in verse 41, "Watch and pray." Why? Why, Jesus? Why should we watch and pray? We're tired. Many of us today would say the same thing. I know what I need to be doing for the Lord, and I know where I need to be careful at, but I'm just too tired. I'm too weak. Well, we find here that Jesus says the purpose of watching and praying is so that we do not enter into temptation. We do not allow the temptations of this world to linger in while we are not alert. And he goes on to say, he said, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. We have to allow the spirit to overcome the flesh. In many instances, in other writings that Paul wrote to different churches, churches in Ephesus and other ones, in the church in Galatia, we find there that he talks about the flesh and the spirit, and how that the spirit needs to overcome or win over the flesh. If we allow the flesh to win, we find that we are no different than the disciples here, and we find ourselves sleeping instead of being alert and watchful for the Lord. We find in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 8 there, he talks about our adversary. And he says there, he says, be sober, be watchful, be alert, be vigilant, he says. There's that continuous thought there that we don't have time to rest. We don't have time to sleep here. We need to be very alert at all times. Why? Because your adversary, and he makes it very clear, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to be very watchful. As I put here, our adversary never sleeps. He never rests. He himself is vigilant in his efforts. And so we too need to be just as, if not more than that, vigilant against him. We need to be aware of him. In order to be watchful and to be alert, you need to know your adversary. And here we find that Jesus makes it very clear. Our adversary is like what? He's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. My wife and I, we have gotten into a series of animal kingdom stuff, watching. And a lot of it is about the predator and that it preys against. And that's what Jesus is trying to make a similarity of here. The predator is the devil. He's creeping around, very sly, very cunning, very quiet, seeking whom he's going to pounce on or prey upon. And who does he prey upon? Just as the animal kingdom, he preys on the weak. So that means also that if I'm going to be spiritually alert, if I'm going to be soberly minded, I need to be very strong in my faith. Which brings us to our next thought. Whenever we think about this idea, stand fast in the faith. Well, what does that mean there? Well, remaining steadfast. Again, it kind of goes along with that idea of being alert. But also, more particularly, unmoved in Christian belief. Like a tree. A tree doesn't move. A good, strong tree. Have you ever noticed, though, that, you know, when there's a strong wind, it's the weaker trees, it's the saplings that tend to break from the strong winds? But have you ever noticed that a good strong tree, a good healthy tree that is well rooted in the ground, does not move? That's how our faith should be. Standing fast in the faith. In a military sense, when you think about this idea of standing fast, in the military there is no retreat. In fact, there are many signs that I've seen up recently, billboards, talks about the Marines, that the word retreat, to run from, is not in their vocabulary. It should never be in the vocabulary of the Christian either. We are spiritual soldiers. Jesus does not want us to retreat, but he wants us to take a stand fast to To have a front line that is unmovable when the times of temptations, trials, and all of these things come upon us. So we need to face these challenges with that kind of unmovable faith. Can't do it if it's not strong. And of course, that brings us to a point about where do we gain that strength? Well, we gain that strength on God. God. We need to think about God being our strength and not on our own strengths. And I'm not talking here about the physical strength, but the spiritual strengths that comes by being a Christian. Being spiritually strong in order to stand fast. Whenever we look at verses like at Ephesians chapter 6, turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. And we find again Paul speaking to the church here in Ephesus. And one of the things that he talks about here, and he gets into the idea of armor and things of that nature, but we find here in verse 11 beginning, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Now he's dealing with Christians here, and he's trying to explain to them how that we can overcome, how that we can make this strong wall of faith. How can we withstand these things without retreating? Well, the only way we can is we got to put on the armor. Well, who has supplied that armor? Well, God has supplied it. God has given us all things that pertain unto what? Unto life and godliness. He's given us everything we need to be strong in the faith. So it's putting our reliance once again upon God and realizing we gain our strength from Him. And here we find that as God has given us the whole armor of God, by God you might say, that you may be what? Able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do I put up that strong front? I've got to look to God for the strength. I've got to look to God to give me the armor that I need to withstand what is coming at me. We find in verse 13 of that same passage there, again, the emphasis is there on, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? To withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Not retreat, but to make that firm stand for the faith. We find in 1 Peter chapter 5, go back over to 1 Peter 5 again, and notice there, we read there in verse 8 there, but let's look at 5 and verse 9 now. As he said there, of course, we need to be sober and vigilant, but then we notice there in verse 9, he says there that we're dealing with Satan here. We're dealing with something that is like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom to devour us. And then he says in verse 9, resist him. How can I resist something that is dominant? How can I resist the predator? I've got to be strong. Resist him. And how does he do that? Steadfast in the faith. Notice that. Just as we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The emphasis again is on, if I'm going to put this strong front up against him, I've got to be steadfast in the faith. And then going on and saying there, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We all face this. But we all can be strong. But we got to go to God for that strength. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, again, we kind of go back to what Paul's admonition was to the church there in 1 Corinthians there. And we're looking at the chapter prior to chapter 16, of course. But notice how he concludes that chapter there. Again, we talked there briefly at the outset of the lesson about the sting of death. It is that of sin. How do we overcome that? Through the power of God, as it says there in verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us what? The victory over what? Over the sting of death, sin. So who gives us the victory through our what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, for this reason, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Notice there once again, he uses that word, being steadfast. Immovable, he says. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, this is how we work and strengthen ourselves. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that what? That your labors are not in vain in the Lord. The work that we do. What we try in our efforts to being stronger in our faith, recognizing that it is not in vain. It's not of no use. It is of great use. The reward awaits us in the end. But in order for me to get to that reward, I've got to make this strong front. I've got to be steadfast in the faith. Just like I put here, using the whole armor of God, we're able to stand our ground against Satan. Satan would be no more, he would be so pleased in seeing us fall. He would be so pleased in seeing us retreat and fall back into our sinful lives. But through the strength that we find in God and our Lord Jesus Christ, we can find the effort is put there in putting that strong front up against him. Now let's go to the next point. The idea here in 1 Corinthians 16, again, we need to be watchful. We need to be steadfast in our faith. But he also puts the challenge forth to these Christians here about being brave. Now again, bravery is a very important thought and a very important thing with the Christian. Being brave and courageous. We've got to face things. It's putting ourselves out there outside of our comfort zone. So many of us want to retreat into that little comfort zone, and we're afraid to get out there. We're afraid to open ourselves up to the world, but recognizing that part of our responsibility is being out in the world, not being a part of it. Let's don't get that confused. God never wants us to be a part of the world, but he understands that we've got to be out there in the world. But that again comes from the idea of being alert all the time, because we're surrounded by temptation. We're surrounded by trials and afflictions in this life. So we got to be watchful. We got to be standing fast in the faith. And it requires bravery on our part. And again, the idea of the strength coming from God's presence rather than relying on the things that are presently surrounding us, but recognizing that God also is there with us. I want us to look at some thoughts there, if you will. When we go back to the book of Joshua, and we find here, this is shortly after Moses has done what he had done, and that was of striking the rock instead of speaking unto the rock, which took the glory away from God and his disobedience to God's commands. And that too, recognizing that God, you know, he looks at every sin that we commit, and we must pay for every sin that we commit. And here Moses paid for that sin by not being allowed to go into the promised land. So that meant that someone else had to lead the children of Israel into the promised land of Canaan. And that man was chosen, and that being Joshua. And I'm sure that this came as a slight surprise to Joshua. And I'm sure he had some moments of, you know, just like Moses did, you know, am I capable of doing this? I don't know if I have the strength and the energy and the courage to do such a thing, because there was over 300,000 people that they were leading into the promised land. And so what we find here is that in these times of doubt in our lives, we find, like Joshua, we find ourselves wondering, can I get through this? Do I have the courage to do so? Well, in verse 9, notice what it says there. God says, have I not commanded you? He wants Joshua to think about something for a moment. He says there, be strong and of good courage. He says, don't be afraid. Well, why shouldn't I? Look what you've got me facing here. Well, God goes on to say, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God, the one that has led all these people out of Egyptian bondage, that has freed them from that, that has brought them this far, that same Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. So just like Joshua, we need to recognize that we're never alone. We're never alone. God is always with us. As long as we are faithful unto God, as long as we believe in God, as long as we look to God for that strength, God is always with us, just as he was with Joshua. We find in 2 Timothy, going back over to the New Testament there, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And notice here Paul's admonition to Timothy. Timothy here is about to embark in preaching the gospel, a young man. I recall back when I first took on full-time preaching at Inglewood, the first job, you might say, that I had in preaching the gospel. I was a young man, and I was very nervous. I had my moments. And I'm sure, like this young man Timothy here, he had the desire, but there was some fear. Some fear that maybe he may not say the right thing, or he may not be leading the people in the right way, that he may not be encouraging and admonishing people as he should. And so there were some fears. So Paul is trying to reassure him here. And what we find there in verse 7 beginning is, Paul says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. In other words, that should not be in the Christian's life. Fear should not be involved in our lives. But instead of fear, we fill that fear with what? With the power of God and the power, as it says, of power and of love and of sound mind. Well, where do we get that? It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the what? Notice here, the power of God. Where does that power come from? Where do we find that courage and bravery that God wants us to have? Through him. Through the assurance that knowing that God is with us. When we think about what Paul's trying to say here, in verse 8 there and verse 9, or in verse 8 in particular, he talks there about being his prisoner. You know, and throughout most of the writings of Paul, we find that most of those of which were found him writing, being imprisoned, as we find. He was subdued. He was put in prison. As he says here, don't be ashamed. You might be facing similar situations in your life, but you got to be brave. And rest assured, just as Paul did not sit alone in that prison, God was with him. Just as long, and keeping in mind that even we might feel alone at times, and that we might feel like, you know, like the prophet that thought he was alone, that thought he was the last prophet living upon the earth that was faithful unto God. But God reassured him he was not alone. There were many other faithful prophets that God had spared. And God will spare us also. But we have to have the assurance that God is with us. That we need to recognize that God is with us. I use the analogy also of David. If you recall when David faced the great giant Goliath, what did David have that all those soldiers of Israel did not have? If you recall, none of them would face Goliath, not one. But here comes this little ruddy shepherd boy. He really didn't come there to fight Goliath. He came there to check on his brothers, as his father had commanded him. But here we find he winds up standing before Goliath when all of these soldiers would not. What is it that David had that they did not have? He had the thought in mind. He had the assurity that God was with him. He realized that he was not fighting against Goliath alone, that he, with God and God's power, not his power, but God's power, would overcome Goliath. And so it was. The children of Israel would never have obtained the promised land of Canaan if it hadn't have been through the power of God. Paul could never have overcome all of the trials in his life and all of the afflictions that he went through in his life without leaning upon God and his power. We too cannot get through those trials. We too cannot get through those afflictions without leaning upon God and his strength. As I put here, we can face our enemy just like Joshua and David did, recognizing that and being assured that God is there with us, fighting our battles for us, teaching us to have trust in God over worry and fear. That brings us to the last point that we find Paul challenging the church in Corinth, challenging you and I, and that is be strong. Similar to that of being brave, but they require strength. You can't be brave and courageous and be weak. You got to be strong. Strength through what? Again, relying on God rather than self. So many times we get ourselves in trouble because we think of self and we think of our weaknesses and everything, and it allows us to retreat back. But see, when we put all that reliance upon God, looking to God for our strength, looking to God to get us through these times of trials, looking to him and his word to allow us the things that we need to know, the things that we need to apply to our lives to make us strong to be able to withstand, then and only then are we going to be able to overcome, particularly during times of hardship and weakness. We've got to put our reliance upon God instead of self. Now let's look at a few verses of Scripture. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, one of the most well-known verses that Paul uses there, and again, talking to the church in Philippi, and again, he says there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have you ever stopped for a moment and just thought about all that our Lord and Savior went through in his life upon this earth? All the suffering that he went through so that you and I might live, so that you and I might have redemption from our sins, salvation for our souls. How many of us could overcome that? I talked earlier about how that Christ many times would go to his Father in prayer, that communication between he and his Father. How often do we communicate with God? Looking and relying upon God for our strength. That's what Christ did. In the final end there, not my will, but thine be done. We find that even in the most trying moments of his life, he relied upon his Father and his will. God is not asking of us anything above and beyond what we're capable of handling. Everything we find in Romans chapter 12 that he talks there and demonstrates unto us that we're to be a living sacrifice unto God. And he ends that verse with the idea of it's a reasonable service. God is not trying to be unreasonable with us. He's trying to save us. And again, we need to get away from our own selfish will and look to God and his guidance. Through God, we gain that strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Turn your Bibles, if you will, over to Isaiah, real quickly, to Isaiah chapter 40. And I want to look at verses 29 through 31. In verse 29, there, beginning of chapter 40. And notice here what the prophet says. He says, "He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases their strength." Who? God does. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall." Those who do not look to God, who do not rely upon God for strength, they will fall. But then in verse 31 he says, "But those who wait on the Lord," those who are faithful unto the God, those who rely upon God, he says, "they shall renew their strength." They will become stronger and stronger. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." In chapter 41, they're going over to verse 10 again. The Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And again, I refer back to Joshua chapter 1. God said, "Your strength, your courage, rely upon me," God says. "I will see you through." In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 there, again we find Paul saying, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Not our own, but his. Yes, we can overcome. Yes, we can be strong in the faith. Are we willing to take the challenge as the Christians in Corinth? Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. That is a challenge to each and every one of us. It's not an unreasonable challenge. It is a challenge that all of us can complete. But we've got to look to God and his direction, his instructions. Look to him for our strength. And we can be courageous, but it requires being watchful, being alert, making a stand, being brave, and being strong. If you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel, clothing and water is prepared and we can baptize you into Christ today. That is the beginning of your faith. That is the beginning of your journey as a child of God. Being adopted into the Lord's family. Becoming a part of something that is greater than man can ever imagine. Are you willing to make that decision today? If you're here today and there's sin in your life and you're a child of God, sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what takes away that final reward of heaven that awaits each and every one of us. And again, recognizing that God deals with each and every one of us according to every sin that we have committed. God will judge us according to every good deed and every bad deed that we have done. So let us cleanse ourselves of whatever sins it may be so that we can be pure and unspotted before God in the day of judgment. We talked about judgment in class this morning, and it is so important to understand that judgment is coming. The question is, are we ready to face our Lord and Savior in that day? We can correct all the errors in our lives right here, right now, by coming forward, and we can assist you in whatever way we can. While together we stand and sing the invitation song.